Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development. The hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax in this Monday Hasty Treat. We're going to be talking about a really interesting new feature that is coming to your browser APIs, all about internationalization, one of the least fun things that we have to deal with. How do you deal with different languages, different currencies, that sort of thing, in all these different languages? It's actually a very, very difficult aspect of programming, and something in specifically in JavaScript that if you've ever had to do it, you've probably come across some of the pitfalls or some of the ways it could be better. So we're going to be talking about some of these cool little tasty treats that we have for you. My name is Scott Tolinsky, and with me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Mr. International today.
Oh, yeah? What's that designation?
Mr. Because I'm really excited about all of these international methods.
Oh, I like didn't know if that was a joke about you being in Canada or something.
Oh no!
I was like looking
Mr.
at you. I was like, you're in your office. Like you're not out of the country. What is?
What? Oh man! Well, don't Google Mr. International unless you want to see some cut dudes from around the world.
I kind of probably could have guessed that. I think that's hilarious. This episode is sponsored by LogRocket. LogRocket is a really cool service, and a lot of people who have never heard of LogRocket try it for the first time and are really blown away just by how it can totally open their eyes. What it does is it gives you the opportunity to see bugs as they happen in your application. You get a really awesome little video sort of replay of what happened when the error happened, along with any sort of error logs, any of that stuff that you get via your browser. If you use Redux, you get the Redux store at the time, the entire networks tab, all of that good stuff. So check it out at logrocket.com/syntax and get 14 days for free. You're not going to need 14 days to realize how cool this is. But trust me, after those 14 days are up, you're going to be wanting to stick around, because this is a tool that I use constantly in my application. And so let's get into it. Just to be totally honest, I am not, you know, the most fluent in internationalization of websites. Now, the furthest that I ever had to get personally for internationalization was via when we were working on this Ford project. We had to deal with, it was like 90 markets.
Yeah.
And so the components that we were building had to work with all of these different internationalization formats, right to left to right, whether it's up and down language, you have Japanese, all these different sort of fonts and everything like that. But we were looking at it from a design perspective. We weren't looking at it from how do you get this to work in a real production environment. The way we did it was we had a Gulp plugin that basically swapped out the fonts and the texts and all this stuff based on which language we passed into it. And that would just spit out a version of the site. So it wasn't actually doing any of this stuff live. It was just saying, all right, here's this version of the site that we can test it in. We can do all of our looking around it and see how everything looks that way. So I'm really interested to get into some of this stuff today.
Yeah, I think it's funny because all of this stuff that I'm talking about today, I didn't even think about it in terms of like translation or internationalization. I'm just excited because they're actually super handy, even if you're just doing a single language website, because these are things that have been a huge pain. So things like formatting currency or formatting percentages or formatting lists of things with and or doing things like Moment.js like 4 hours ago or formatting a day. All of these things are just hard in general, and they often require a whole external library in order to do them easier. And INTL methods are making them super easy in one language super easy in many languages, which is really cool that it will just be easily updatable for whatever language you or locale you are trying to to support. So let's get right into it. So INTL is a global in the browser. So it, capital INTL dot. And then we're going to go through some of these new methods that are coming. I think they're all in draft still. No, not all of them are in draft, but most of them are well supported in almost all of the browsers. So it's something that you can probably get to starting to use. The only caveat is that these are incredibly complex. So the polyfill for them is either non-existent or will be very large for it to work. Even even things like Node.js, if you want these to work with all of the different locales in Node.js, you have to start up Node differently and tell it to actually include all of these things. Because I think under the hood, there's some super complex code going on in here, which is why it makes it so easy for us to do. So first one, intl.number format. This also is available on numbers with the method to local string. It's the exact same thing. It's said it's preferred to use the intl.number format. The way that all of these work is that you create what's called a formatter, and then you pass the formatter a couple different options for how you would like to format your numbers. So with intl.number format, you create a formatter and you pass it which locales you'd like to support. So there's a huge list. I'm not even going to attempt to. Arabic is probably the only one that I can pronounce here. but you could also just pass it like a locale like EN-US or EN-CA. That'd be English Canadian or EN-FR. You get the point, right? You can look up a list of locales.
We'll link up to the page for the identifiers.
Here. Yeah. You can also just allow it to just look it up itself. So it will detect that from the browser, which is good because I always hear from people who are living in a certain country. Let's say you only speak English, but you move to France and your browser is set to English. But because you live in France, it thinks you speak French and then it just will automatically serve up French to you. There's a better way to do that. And that's just detect it from the browser, what the language is set to on there. So that's good. The second one you can pass is style. So you can set it to decimal, currency, or percent. And this is really handy because in some languages, they use a period as a, like if you have $11,400, they use the period where the comma is supposed to go. And then the comma where the period is supposed to go. And it's just backwards in some languages and correct in English. I'm joking.
Yeah. If you're a listener and you hear us ever say something is like correct in Canada or the US or something, we are joking. we're not hating on your way of doing things.
And then you can also specify which currency symbol, euro, dollar, things like that. Or you can let it again, you can let it detect yourself. You can give it minimum and maximum integers. So I specifically use this API on my own website because when I have a course that is on sale for $97, I want it just to say 97. But when the course has cents on it, I want it to say like 97 and 58 cents. So when it doesn't have cents, I don't want it to show that. So I have a little bit of if statements there that will give it the minimum and maximum digits that it would like it to go. And I believe it will round it if you have more than that is actually available. At the end of that, you call format on this thing and it will spit out a beautifully formatted price or percentage or just a decimal number, which is amazing because previously you'd have to go and get some like sort of format money function. And then there's all these weird edge cases, like specifically when you have something that has 10 cents left, a lot of the times it would just be like $40.1. Like, no, it's 10 cents. I need the zero on the end, right? So it's frustrating with that kind of thing.
Yeah. So next one we have is the list format. Which this is the first one that we talked about this morning. This is really fascinating. Basically, you have a list, right? Maybe you have an array of strings. Maybe it's, let's say, yellow, black. What's another good syntax color? White. Yellow, black, and white. So your string is an array of yellow, black, white. And then you tell it that it's going to be a list of strings. You create your list, you give it an international list format, you say it's English, and then you format the list And then it basically adds in what would be the common words that would create a list. For instance, if you had an array, like we said, which was just yellow, black, white, the output of that would then become yellow, comma, black, comma, and white. So it puts in the commas where they need to be, and it gives you the and. And I see here that by default, it looks like it does do the Oxford comma. I don't know what your thoughts on that. Yeah. I typically use the Oxford comma myself. I don't really have any strong opinions about it, though, but I like it. Yeah.
It will also do, you can set a conjunction, which is
conjunction.
Or. Yes. So by default, it will use and. And then you can set it to be, what is the conjunction?
Disjunction.
Disjunction. And that will give you or. So it will say yellow, black, or white. And again, like this is just something that if you had this in an array, you'd have to take all of the items except the last one, and then you'd have to join them together with a comma, and then you'd have to take the last item and then
throw like, an and with spaces.
Concatenate in your and yeah. And put and then put the last item on there and then have a period. And this will just do it all for you. And then you can just pass it a different locale. And then I'm not exactly sure how it works in other languages, but I'm sure they figured it out and it will properly format it for the different types of languages. There's also like different styles. You can give it a style of long, short, and narrow. I'm not sure what the difference between long and short is.
These examples look the exact same to me between the long and short.
I don't know what the difference between long and short is, but narrow will not give you the and or. It will simply just give you commas, which I guess you could just do with array.join as well. But I'm sure there's some finessey things between different languages in there that makes that worth it.
Yeah, interesting. This stuff's so fascinating.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of browser APIs that when you dive into, really, there's so much stuff in there that maybe you haven't used before that there's a lot of opportunity to like not pick up an NPM library to do some of this stuff and to just try to use a browser API to do it instead. It's one of those things that I wish I had more time to just like sit and read through the MDN docs all day.
Yeah. Next two we have here are date time format and relative time format. So very much like Moment.js, where you can nicely format your date times based on like if you want to have year first or whatever, or like I know that the US does day first? No, the US does month, day, year.
Month, day, year.
Which makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense, but when you grow up and you're used to it, it makes perfect sense for no reason.
Yeah, it's like most things in the US.
Right. It works.
Yeah, it works. And then everywhere else does day, month, year. So if you just format it by passing it ENUS, it will do it the wrong way. And if you pass it the EN-GB, it will do it. I wonder what happens when you pass it the Canadian way. Let me see. Hold on. Maybe I'm talking smack and Canada does it the same way here. Hold on.
Yeah, it kind of felt like it wasn't just the US that did it that way and that Canada did it the same way as the US, but we'll see here. This will be even sweeter after you did talk trash.
If you pass it EN-CA, it will give you year, month, day. So all the way backwards.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, what about French? ENFR-CA.
So the cool thing the cool thing about this is you can fire up your browser, throw in some of these things and just run some of these little experiments yourself. It's just in your console there. I think that's awesome. You can just go try it out and answer these questions without having to go to Google. You can use your own your JS skills.
You can pass it different types of calendars, Buddhist, Chinese, Coptic, Gregory, Hebrew, Indian, Islamic, ooh. Islamic with two C's, Japanese, Persian. There's all kinds of different types of calendars you can pass here. Hour cycles that you can pass. Like, I would love to meet the people that have implemented the logic behind all of this. It seems so incredibly complex. Just tucked away nicely for you.
Yeah, and this next one I think is the plural rules, which is pluralization. And this one to me seems like that has to be very complex to get any sort of pluralization working where you could be confident that the word is going to be pluralized correctly. It's not just as simple as tossing an S onto the end of it. Yeah. Not to mention, I have no idea personally what other languages, the ways of doing pluralization. I should know. I feel like I know enough about other languages, but most of the languages that I know don't have any sort of wild ways of doing this. But I'm sure there's a ton of weird little exceptions here and there. I'm sure there's a ton of weird stuff about this.
In the example says Arabic has different plural rules. So if it is zero, it says zero. If it's one, it says one. If it's two, it says two. If it's six, it says few. And if it's 18, it says many. I wonder at what point does it change from few to many? Here, let's try 10, few. Let's try 15, many. Oh, 13, many. 12, many. 11, many. 10. 10 is few and 11 is many.
You know, few to me always ended at 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, few is a 3.
Hold on.
In my book. A couple, few.
8. And we pass it en-us, 8 is other. If I pass it 2, other, 1 is 1. Interesting. You can also get things like first, second, third, fourth, 42nd. So that's always kind of a tough thing to do. It's just like very simple to say it out loud. But if you write an algorithm as to how that works, this will do that all under the hood. For you.
This is all good stuff, and it all exists in your browser.
Oh, I think this is useful to distinguish between singular and plural form. Example, dog and dogs. So it will give you other if it's dogs. So zero dogs, one dog, and then two dogs everywhere, everything else. So everything except one is dogs, and then one is dog. And that's just
will
in
this
English.
Transform dog to dogs, or am I no, tripping on that
it
one?
Well, what I'm seeing is that it will just give you the word one, two, or other, and based then you have to write the logic. Plural. Yeah, like WordPress does this, where it will you're like I have comments,
right,
and then you would say like for zero comment. or yeah. more, you say comment. Otherwise, I would usually just use a little shorthand if to add an S. But again, there's many use cases where that doesn't cut it. And this will go to other languages, right?
Interesting. Yeah. So I was thinking for some reason that this was the ability to transform a dog into dogs, despite not seeing that example anywhere in here. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, it just gives you the type, then you would have to write your own function to tell it. Mm. Huh, pretty, that's pretty cool. I think like it's, you might be, if you just do an English website, you might be saying like, huh, like why would I need this? But it's probably worth doing ahead of time because as soon as you need to internationalize something, you're already set up.
Yeah, and it's at least worthwhile to just head to these docs and paw through them because you're going to someday run across something and instead of reaching for a library, you're going to say, no, wait, never mind. I know how to do this. I know how to do it.
It's built in.
Yep, built in. Got it.
All right. I think that's it. If you want to check it out, I suggest you go to the MDN docs and just look up INTL and they have a list of all of the things we talked about as well as hit the show notes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for following along with us today on Syntax and we will see you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace. Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.